you're going to find yourself right in the middle of all.
Regardless of those majority, they are right or they are wrong, it wouldn't make any difference. And the third is to live for yourself. And when you live for yourself, that means you cannot see but yourself. Whatever right is right for you, and whatever right for you is lawful. Whatever wrong for you is wrong. Sometimes, and I got a lot of reservation about that, we get a parents coming and complaining and say, the children, they were so good. They were so obedient. They were so nice. They were. Yeah, you're right about that. I believe you. But all of a sudden, they turn out to be monsters. I'm not sure about that. Because basically, the fruits, there is, it takes a lot of years to build the tree. And the fruits, it comes just at the final statement. So basically, if you are a very selfish person and self-centered, what do you expect out of the member of the family? If you go according to what the people with the majority, and really I mentioned that before, I'm going to mention it now, it is because I consider it crime. When somebody come blaming somebody in your family did something wrong and says, come and say, what are the people going to say about us today? Or what do you think people, how are we going to look out there? How are the people going to look at us? You are worried about what are the people going to say about you, and you are not worried about what Allah is saying about you? Is that all your concern? And if it is the third, which is usually you get the fruit. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you a certain responsibility, and the rest is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first. The second, there is another question that we really have to answer and we have to adhere to. And that's basically where we stand, if not from the obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are talking about the unconditional obedient to Allah. Sami'na wa ata'na, we hear, we obey, or we are obeying when we can, when we want, and when we can't, and when we want. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. The key here for your salvation, your family salvation, fulfilling your responsibility to yourself, fulfilling your responsibility to Allah, is unconditional obedience to Allah. ذين قالوا سمعنا وأطعنا. We hear, we obey. Is it expensive? Very, 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 very expensive. And please don't let anybody tell you anything else. Because to be in a state of unconditional obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means you're going to go against yourself, against your desire. You're going to go against people and what the people's convenience are. As long as it is right, and you're going to stand up for it. And you're going to pay the price. So is that condition or this guideline is activated in your family or it is not? And please, we need to put things in its right perspective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained rituals like the prayer, fasting, the zakah, and including even the hajj after the declaration of the faith. These are nothing merely no more than tools. Tools. Their job is to, when you use them like carpenter, like any other tools, owning the tool does not mean you are developing a product or you are skillful to use them. Buying the tools, good, but you need the training to know how to use them. You have to have an objective and a goal. What you're going to use this tool to develop, to get, what kind of material you're going to use. So prayer itself is not going to help. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't misunderstand me, but put things in its right perspective. We cannot live without it. But at the same time, we are abusing them when we think that just sitting down and standing up and saying words, and you go after that, and after 1 minute your behavior is completely contradiction, instead of contradiction to what is supposed to be done, and you keep on doing it and get used to it. And that's what I meant for you, khutbah by al-fahsha, the shameful deed. We got used to pray, but at the same time we got used to lie, to cheat, to do, to manipulate, to do everything. So they turn it out still tools. We are not using them, or we don't know how to use them. You have to know how to use them. Also, another guidelines, every single person in the family should know the sense of responsibility. Please, if you raise a child, either deliberate or undeliberate, to be selfish, don't blame anybody. Don't blame anybody but yourself. You did not teach that a child that he's a part of the body and a part he has in life, he has to give and he has to take. The concept of serving, to be servant, and to get what you want, and my job in life is to give my child what they want. No, I'm sorry. Your job in life to give your children what they need, not what they want. You must give them what they need. But when it comes to what they want, they must earn it. They must earn it, even if you have the means and you can do it. You have to teach them how to do it. The sense of responsibility. Every single member of the family, as a guideline, must know that he or she is responsible for their own behavior. They are responsible, and they're going to answer to the highest authority in this family. And the highest authority in this family is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once that a child started to comprehend, started to know, you're supposed to tell him and to start to invest in him. Do this, Allah will be pleased with you. Don't do that, Allah will be displeased with you. You have to give him that sense of responsibility. Or otherwise, everybody on his own. The second element of this responsibility, looking after the others. You look after others. You are responsible for the rest of the member of your family, and the rest of the member of your family responsible for you. One of the major elements of the success in the Orient communities, that sense of responsibility. Go to the family structure, the Orient family structure. Any child responsible for the one coming after him. The mother and the father only interfere when there is a need to. There is a sense of responsibility. And that one is responsible for the one older than him. We are not going to go Orient. We want to go Islamic. Islamic being dynamic, and that means being responsible. And there is a hadith on that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, telling us, let the older be kind to the younger. And let the younger respect the older. Also, you have to create in your family, there you don't have options. We really don't have options. You have to create in your family a role model. Any elder in the family must be a role model. The father must be a role model. The mother must be a role model. We are nothing, you and I, nothing more than what our parents put in us. And we all now know that building the Muslim on subhanallah, that is within the rules of raising. The scientist today says the character of the human being is already sealed. It started in age 4, completely sealed in the age 7 to 9. In that range, you're gonna fall. Anything else you got is a freebie, is extra. But the foundation gonna move you is already built in this area. So you need to have a role model. You have to be a role model. And I don't mean a role model. That means that the person who does not make mistakes or the one who does not feed. No. You as a human being, you're going to do your mistakes. But share it and talk about it and talk about the solution. Be a role model. How to solve the problem. But where are you going to get the direction? You have to have the commitment to make Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam your role model. قَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. يرجو الله mean what? وذكر الله كثيرا. يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. يرجو الله. When you are hoping in Allah, when you fulfill your commitment, when you do your job and waiting the acceptance. I hope I will be accepted in this university or in this job. I am not going to hope that I'm going to be accepted if I'm not a qualifier and I'm not submitting application. That's cheating to yourself. So if you're hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept you, you have a role model. Just go after him. Go after Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See as a family man what he did, what he was doing. And I give one little example how he used to defuse any issue or any problem between him and between his wife. When his wife get angry and they're going to start it, he's going to put his right hand on the shoulder, on their shoulder, and very kindly say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide your heart. May Allah give you peace and tranquility. With the biggest smile, he will defuse it. And after that, come, what's bothering? He did not come and say, who are you to come and talk to me? You don't know who you're talking to. You don't know who you're talking to. You are talking to a messenger here. You are talking to a messenger here. See how Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam handled those type of situations. The Shira books, they are all over and they have it. All we need to do is we have the commitment and we go after it and we learn it. And we apply it. Also, you have to go by the strategy that Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put in raising. He said, صاحبوهم لعبوهم في سب وعلموهم في سب وصاحبوهم في سب. And that means be kind and playful with them for 7 years. And now number 7 come back home. Number 7 came back. 7 to 9, and here is 7. لعبوهم في سب. Build their character in سب, in 7 years. Let them love you, respect you, and approve you as a source of knowledge. Some source that they can trust. وعلموهم في سبع, that means teach them in another 7. Or by another word, that's the disciplinary time. And after that, you have in 14 to 21. وصاحبوهم في سبع. صاحبوهم means what? The bottom line of it, what? Be a counselor. That means teach them how to take a decision and carry the consequence of responsibility, but be like a guideline to them. Work with them. You see now? He is the first one who is calling the attention, wait a minute, that little child is not a child anymore. And you should not be treating him as a child anymore. That a child is going through it changes, and that's what he needs in that stage of a state, it changes. That's what Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teaching us. Also, you have to teach the child the concept of one way to authority is behind, believe me, is not in the structure of the Muslim family. It's not on the structure of the Muslim family. You have everything going, there is a limitation and there is a border to everything. But you have to make sure that your children and even whomever in your household is not taking the order from a dictator coming down to others. But it has any decisions, any commitment in it, it has to be collective. We talked about it, we agree, we disagree. But as long as it is lawful, the final word is going to be for who? To the man. Without disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You never know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the wisdom in their mouth. You never know. And at the same time, you have to create the environment to teach the young how to be responsible and how to take decisions and how to come up with taking the responsibility and get the consequence of it. If it is good, alhamdulillah. If it is bad, alhamdulillah. Don't sit down and cry for it. Stand up, see your mistakes, correct it, keep on going. Where are you going to learn that? School, they don't teach it. Reading, they don't teach it. Only the family teach it. These are the criteria that we want in building character. And if it is none of the family, who will do it? We are compromising our family. We have within that group dynamic, the head of the household, they're supposed to know and when and how to encourage every member in the family to talk about their problems. A child from 1 to 7 set of problem is different from 7 to 14. It's different from 14 to 21. Some problems, maybe we can talk about them as a family. And some problem, they need privacy. We need to talk about it in private. But in both cases, your job as a head of a household is to encourage the dialogue. Is encouraging your son or your daughter to come to you, trust you, that they're going to find the solution with you, or at least you're going to help them if you don't have the solution. You're going to help them out. Not to be the source of authority that they deny you, they resent you, they reject you, and when they grow up, they challenge you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us to do that. But look at what you are doing. You are only get the fruit of what you put in there. Another element, you have to have a keen screening to whom you are communicating with. I think Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to select our friends. And he talked about that plenty. And we all know all the hadith about it. That is supposed to be implemented in our home. We are not, there is a difference between I give you a fish every day and I teach you how to fish. Your job is while you are giving the fishes to teach how to fish. You have to teach your children, your household, how to select the friends. What is the meaning of the word the friends? What does it mean? Is it the person that I'm having a good time with? Or the person that it helped me to be more obedient? To be more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To be a better person? Even if he's not a Muslim or she's not a Muslim. Like in a schooling environment. Or in work environment. You're not going to come and say, excuse me, don't talk to me, I'm a Muslim. And you are not. I'm not going to work. But you have to be very selective. You have to know when to stand and how to stand. and where to stand. Another rule and guideline in the communication is the relatives. Where we stand of our relatives. Believe me, when we look at the rape statistics, we are not going to be very happy. Because we give relatives sometimes more leisure than we give others. In the United States, it is not a Muslim environment. You have 62% of the affairs that is taking place. Affair, that means cheating. Either between the husband and the closest friend, or one of the very close friends, or actually, to be accurate in the statistic, one of the best five of the wife, and in the case of the husband, between the wife, and one of the best five of the husband. What is the percentage? Like I said, 62%. Why? Because we give those people more leisure. We give them more privileges than others. And we were disarmed more. And human beings are human beings. See how Sayyidina Muhammad والسلام, solved this problem. When he was asked about that issue, he answered a beautiful hadith. Alhamu al-maut. Alham al-maut. Alham the close relative or the close companion. That can be in the Arabic language. He is the close relative or the close companion. Al-maut, it can lead to death. That's how dangerous is it. He is like my brother. She's like my sister. No, he is not like your brother, because brother is a brother, and not brother is not a brother. There is something called a privacy. You do not allow, not muhrim, to give him privileges more than he or she is supposed to have. You yourself, you cannot say, she is like my sister, and you give yourself privileges that you should not give, either to touch, or the way you talk, or a privacy, or what have you. No, you don't. These are guidelines that are supposed to exist in your family, and you're supposed to teach the household of your family and to enforce it. You have to make sure that it is applied in your family. Be kind to your relative. But you know what is the limitation. No one you can say, he's like my brother, he can come to my home anytime, and he can open a closed door anytime, and he can go in. You don't know what's behind those doors. This is all privacy. This is all privacy. We have to learn how to discipline the household and enforce the concept of a privacy. Not to be mean and not to be bad to your relatives, but to respect the privacy. And you have to, don't wait, please, till it comes. It comes at the time where they are adult and mature and you start to enforce that. No, from the early beginning. You want to go to the girl's room or your sister's room, knock the door. If she say come in, you come in. If you want to go to your brother's room, you knock the door. If he say come in, you come in. You think that it is a small thing? No, it is not a small thing. No, it is not small things. And like I was saying, you have to teach them from the early beginning the sense of responsibility. And the accountability. And just the incidents came to my mind while I'm talking about Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ali ibn Abi Talib radhiyallahu alayhi. He was standing up praying, Sayyidina Muhammad praying in his own home. That's his own home. And Ali ibn Abi Talib, we know that he was raised as a household in Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam home. So by instinct, Ali came right by Sayyidina Muhammad, stood by him, and he started to do what he was doing. Sayyidina Muhammad makes sujood, he will make sujood. He make ruku, he will make ruku. Sayyidina Muhammad, after he finished, look, he did not tell him, don't do that anymore or ignore him. Look at the sense of responsibility, please. What he told him. Don't you think it is better to ask your father permission first? Before, you see what I'm saying? Because he knows that the father is his uncle. Shouldn't you take his permission first before you do what I'm doing? Listen to the answer of the character, the Muslim character that we suppose one of, that we supposed to be geared to have our children like that. The answer of Sayyidina Ali is this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not take my father permission before he created me. Why should I take the permission of my father to worship Allah? I'm going to repeat it again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not take my father permission before he created me. Why should I take the permission of my father to worship? What kind of personality is this? Where he got his training? Where he got his knowledge? How he got developed? He knows that the one who will answer to is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who will be afraid of is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The source of respect is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The source of love is also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who can give and take is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He recognizes himself and gives his birth certificate as a human being by his statement. You may take this statement or not, because that's my own opinion, and I'll make it clear. As far as I'm concerned, Ali ibn Abi Talib graduated in this incident. He proved his credential, and he was a child at that time. There are two more elements I want to have on the khutbah, inshallah, and I'm going to conclude it. The first one, discipline. There is a big difference between that you love and hate, and between right and wrong. You have discipline process must exist. And I don't mean punishment. I mean discipline. There is a big difference between punishment and discipline. Discipline basically mean, wait a minute, let us stop, reevaluate what we are doing. This is wrong, this is right. I will assume that you have a good intention to correct, and now you have your chance to do it. And there are certain levels, and there are certain methods to do it. It must exist. But don't please raise a child, and when he comes to 14 and 16 years old, and he's a lot more taller than you, and you can come and he start already, now we know how he is doing what he's doing, and you come and come and say, what am I going to do about it? He doesn't listen to me. No, there is no such a thing called he doesn't listen to me. He doesn't listen to me, to you, because from the early childhood, you did not discipline him or her enough to respect what you're saying, not you, what you're saying. Most of the time, we want the child to be a copy of you. Who said that? And it is very simple calculation. If you want your household to obey you, you yourself will be in a state of obedience to Allah, and see what's going to happen. You be in a state of obedience to Allah and see what's going to happen. The only thing you need to do here, so the discipline process must exist in the family. You must exist. These are corrective measures to make sure that every member in your family, every single member in your family, go, inshallah, in the straight path. And when you come to the point where you are dying, you can say, Alhamdulillah, I tried to do my best. I tried to do my best. And I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. But like I said, if you are selfish, what are you expecting your family members going to be? If you are washy-washy or going according to what the people go, what do you expect your children going to be? And there is another rule. If you disobey Allah to please anyone, you're going to be the first victim to that one, and the subject of his or her disrespect. The first one going to be your enemy is the one that you disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please. First one going to be your enemy is the one you disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please. The last point that I want to say in that issue is double standards. In a lot of cultures, I'm not going to name one, you treat the boy a certain way, you treat the girl another. You give privileges to one over the other. Where is those privileges coming from? Did the Quran say it? Did Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say it? If they did, show us. But if he didn't, اتق الله. Don't discriminate between your children based on sex. Don't give anybody privileges over the other. Your job is a keeper, you are not an owner. Imagine you are a doctor being trusted to do operation, and your patient in his complete state anesthesia and submission to you. Don't betray it. Don't betray your family by discriminating. How you think the girl is going to feel when they say for no crime they did, they are girls? And what kind of a privileges the men or the boys had just because they are boys? Who said that? They are different. Each one of them has his. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sayyidina Muhammad taught us how to treat them. But he said, no privileges. So you cannot have a double standard if you want to fulfill your commitment. If you want to, as a head of household, as a member of a family, you want to do your job. You want to do your job. Don't discriminate. I want to finish this khutbah by confirming a concept from the Quran about the group dynamic in the family. When Sayyidina Luqman was talking to his son, father to son, Ya Bunay, la tushrik billah. We can understand that. A father's responsibility is to discipline and help his child. Even if that he was a man in that time. But look at the other side of the group dynamic. Sayyidina Ibrahim was talking to his father and he says what? Ya Abati, oh my father, follow. That means it is a responsible for what? The child have a responsibility to their parents. When they see them doing wrong, when they are mature to know what is right and wrong, when they know what is right. Why? Because the loyalty number one to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have it coming from parents to children, and you have it coming from children to parents. But how the parents, the children, gonna dare to do it if they are not trained to do it? If they are knowledgeable to do it? If they have the respect and they know the method to do it? We have a lot of work to do. Building a family is an act of worship. And actually it is the sum of the act of worship. because you are helping other human beings, not only you, other human beings to carry on and to fulfill the mission of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance, and ask Allah to bless our gathering and help us inshallah to be a better believer and a better help for our soul. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. In conclusion to the group dynamic, the Muslim group dynamic in the family, you have to start. And last time I said there are immediate steps that it doesn't cost you time. You don't have to be a scholar, you don't have to be a learned, but all you need to do is to really have it in your heart. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help and it will happen. We have one of the most powerful tools that we can apply and use in any given time. And this tool is called the prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in description to it, he said what? Inna as-salata tanha an al-fahsha'i wal-munkar. And we know that in Surah Ar-Rum, verse 90, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordering us, al-fahsha'i wal-munkar wal-baqr, that means there is a two out of the three. Because if you start to handle those, number three will never happen. Start by make sure that regardless, when you work for Allah, not work for yourself, other people heart listen. Go and get your family together and tell them, we have a job to do. Maybe we did not do it before. Be honest, you speak to them and have their commitment. And the first commitment that you need to do is let us, no one of us going to go to sleep without pray, and if we can pray with each other, let us do it. Let us do it. Whatever circumstances, if we can do, let us at least do the Fajr prayer together. Let us do the Isha prayer together. Let us do it together. Time of giving order is... Time of giving order is not there. It never meant it to be. It never meant it to be. Talk to them and inshallah they will respond. They will respond. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was correcting the history of prophets and messengers and he was honoring them, when he came to Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, he made one point to stand out. وَكَانَ يَأْمُرْ أَهْلَهُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. That means that's the disciplinary action that I was talking about. It's not a punishment. Disciplinary action. Disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or neglecting his right is a red line no one gonna cross. No one gonna cross. That's all into it. But before you come and tell me red line and don't cross and don't do this and don't do that, sit down with me and let us understand each other. Let us commit each other. Every one of us commit himself or herself to help each other and let us do it together. And when you say ala barakatillah and you go in, it will happen. Never give up. Every single minute and second is the excellent and the best minute to start. And a wise man said, maybe you cannot change your starting point. And it is not wise to go to your starting point. But definitely from where you are, you can change your ending point. And that's where you and I here today. From where we are, Can we change our ending point? Can we change the fate of our families? Can we change what's going on in it? Or we can't? Yes, we can. Definitely we can. But when you say, inshallah, I can, and you put it together, it will. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance. Ask Him to bless our gathering. Help us to be ever obedient. Help us to stay with the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and apply Him in our life so we can live in peace and die in peace. And inshallah, in the hereafter, we'll be in peace and will be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Abad Allah, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Shahadat la ilaha illallah. Shahadat Muhammad Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah.